Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling something that, for most people, is the single biggest transaction they'll ever be a part of.
Real estate. It's always a huge topic.
Exactly. And we're diving deep into a document that's, well, it's shaking up the very economics of that transaction. Mm-hmm. We're talking about how real estate agents get paid and, more importantly, who's paying them.
We are, yeah. We're looking at a really timely analysis here. It's focused on the immense pressure that's reshaping the U.S. housing market right now. The document itself is called Broker Commissions Post-NAR Settlement Analysis.
And that title really says it all, doesn't it? That's our mission for today.
It is. It frames the entire conversation.
That's right. So our goal is to pull out the core insights from this. Mm. The central question, just from reading that title, has to be, what happened to the fees? You know, the transaction costs, right after this massive legal earthquake hit the industry.
It's so critical because this settlement, it wasn't just some minor rule change. It basically mandated transparency. It forced negotiation in a space where for decades, standard practices were just king.
Right. The old, this is just how it's done model.
Exactly. And when you think about it, agent commissions have traditionally been a huge chunk of the total cost, often 5 to 6%. So any shift, any change at all, directly hits housing affordability, seller profits, everything.
So we're basically synthesizing the findings laid out right here in this analysis to see what the immediate reaction from the market was. And this isn't just about, you know, a number going down a little bit.
No, not at all. It's about a structural change. It's about the unbundling of services and a redistribution of who's on the hook for what financially.
It really forces you to look past the lawsuit itself and just focus on the economic fallout.
That's what this analysis is designed to do. Its scope is very clear. It's a forensic look at the outcomes, the results that were seen in the market right after the settlement went into effect.
Okay, so let's set the stage a bit. To understand what happened, we need to know what it was like before, right? The before picture.
Absolutely. So before this settlement, the dominant model in the U.S. was that the seller would offer compensation for the buyer's agent.
And that was published for everyone to see, the multiple listing service, the MLS.
Right. And it was seen, for all intents and purposes, as a single combined commission pool that the seller paid out.
And that single pool, the one that paid for both the seller's agent and the buyer's agent. That's the key thing this analysis has to be tracking as it starts to break apart.
That's the domino. And the term post-NAR settlement in the title confirms it. The analysis starts the clock the second that old model was disrupted, and it's looking for those first visible signs of things, you know, unbundling.
So if we really drill down on the main variable here, broker commissions, we're not just talking about a flat percentage. We're talking about fees for a professional service.
Right.
And the crucial change, it seems, is the shift away from just accepting a standard rate to having to explicitly negotiate everything.
And that's what's so fascinating. This report analyzes the mechanics of that change. It's not just asking, did the rate drop from 5.5% to 5? That's too simple.
So it's asking deeper questions.
Much deeper. It's asking things like, did the buyer's agent compensation just vanish from the MLS listing overnight? Did agents start offering, you know, different menus of services, forcing commissions to be broken down instead of just lumped together?
Which goes directly to one of the biggest criticisms of the old system. Right? The lack of transparency. Who was really paying the buyer's agent? And did that create a conflict of interest?
Precisely. So the analysis has to show how the market responded when the rules suddenly said that buyer representation had to be negotiated separately.
Okay, so that leads us to a key mechanism for this change, which I imagine the analysis has to focus on heavily, the formal buyer-broker agreement.
Yes, that's the linchpin.
Right.
Before the settlement, these agreements were they were often optional. Some markets used them, some didn't.
But post-settlement, they become a primary tool for making this change happen.
They become mandatory in a lot of ways, yeah.
That's such a powerful conceptual shift. I mean, instead of just assuming the seller pays for the buyer's agent through the listing, the buyer now has to confront the cost of their own representation directly.
Even if that cost gets rolled into the deal later on as a seller concession, you're right. The buyer has to see it, sign off on it, and agree to it up front. And this analysis would have to track whether buyers and agents are actually signing these things and what kinds of fees they're agreeing to.
And this brings us right to the action part of the title. What happened? The analysis is designed to capture the real-world consequences of forcing this new contract structure on millions of transactions.
It's all about observable consequences.
So let's break that down. Let's talk about the three areas where what happened would be most disruptive. The places the analysis would have to look first. Number one, I think, is listing agent behavior.
Makes sense. In the old world, the listing agent had to think about that cooperative fee they were offering to the other side, to the buyer's agent.
They had to build that into their total commission.
Right. Post-settlement, they're suddenly freed from that. So the analysis needs to show, did the commission offered by sellers immediately shrink to just cover their own agent? Or did sellers use that new flexibility to negotiate their own listing fee down even further?
That's a great question, which then leads to the second area of disruption. The buyer's side of the equation, their whole financial calculation just changed.
Completely. Before, the list price of the house was basically the all-in cost, more or less. Now, buyers are suddenly faced with this new potential line item, the cost of their own agent.
So what would the analysis track there?
Two main potential outcomes. First, did we see a wave of cash-strapped buyers, especially first-time buyers, suddenly needing to find thousands of dollars out of pocket for their agent?
Which would be a huge barrier to entry.
A massive one.
Yeah.
Or, the second outcome, did the market adapt almost immediately by just pushing that cost back onto the seller through negotiated concessions at closing? The document would need to quantify that. What's the ratio between those two scenarios?
That's a huge operational change. For lenders, for closing attorneys, they all have to adapt. Okay, but let's hit the third area. The agent's value proposition itself.
Yeah, the big one.
If the fee is now totally negotiable and transparent, the agent has to justify their price tag, right?
Absolutely. The what happened part of this report has to show how agents are trying to justify their fees. Are we seeing a quick shift towards agents offering a menu of services, something like, you know, X amount for professional photos and an MLS listing?
Plus another Y amount for handling all the negotiations.
Plus another Z for managing the closing logistics, that kind of a la carte model.
You know, that transition from an all-inclusive percentage to a menu of services, that's probably the single biggest pivot this analysis could capture.
I agree. It would measure how quickly the market accepts this new idea of paying for specific, itemized real estate services instead of just a lump sum when the house sells.
And that unbundling is really the whole point. If the analysis shows that a lot of agents adopted itemized fees really quickly, that would suggest the market is moving toward efficiency.
It would, yeah. A world where consumers can shop for exactly the level of service they need. Experienced buyers who want to do a lot of the work themselves could potentially save a lot of money.
Okay, let's push this idea a little bit further because real estate is so local. It's not one single market. The analysis would have to look at geographical differences, wouldn't it?
Oh, it's non-negotiable for a good analysis. What happened in a super competitive, high-cost market is going to look totally different from what happened in a slower, lower-cost one.
Right. So in places like, say, the big coastal cities where prices are already high.
Exactly. In those high cost, high volume markets, even a 0.5% reduction in commission is suddenly tens of thousands of dollars. The pressure on agents to drop their rates immediately would be intense.
So the analysis would likely show a faster and deeper initial drop in total cost there.
I would expect so. Yeah. The market elasticity is just higher. But now contrast that with smaller, more rural markets, places with low inventory, maybe only a handful of active brokerages.
In those places, the need to use a local agent who knows everyone and controls access to information is still really high.
It is. And in those markets, the analysis would probably show more initial resistance to change. If the commission structure was already a bit lower or there's just less competition, the settlement might just lead to a shift in paperwork.
So agents would just start formally requiring a buyer-broker agreement, but without actually lowering the fee they charge for their full service.
Potentially. And the analysis becomes so valuable because it could quantify that regional friction. It could show us where the change is real and where it's, for now, just on paper.
So what happened isn't one national story. It's more of a patchwork quilt of regional adaptations.
Where consumer awareness and local competition really determine how fast the fees come down.
Okay, what about the competitive landscape between different types of brokerages? Like, what did this do to discount brokers or flat fee models?
That's a fantastic point. Before the settlement, they were already offering lower listing fees, but they still had to play the game. They had to offer that co-op fee to attract a buyer's agent.
Otherwise, buyer's agents might not show their listings.
Right. So the analysis would need to check if this shift immediately gave those discount models a huge competitive advantage. Suddenly, they can charge their low flat fee and then just put a zero for the co-broke compensation on the MLS.
Which forces the buyer's agent to get paid directly by the buyer, which is the whole point.
Exactly. So if this analysis shows a big, immediate jump in market share for these low-cost models, that's a direct signal that the legal pressure worked. It successfully sped up market disruption.
It sounds like the most valuable part of this analysis isn't just one final average commission number. It's really the early documentation of how an entire, often very rigid industry adapts.
I think so. It's about how an industry that moves trillions of dollars a year adapts agent by agent, brokerage by brokerage, to a whole new set of rules about transparency.
It's a snapshot of a power shift.
That's the core insight. The analysis quantifies that shift, moving away from a traditional established norm toward explicit, documented negotiation at every single step.
So we've laid out what the analysis should show us. Let's tie this back directly to the listener, the person who's thinking about buying or selling a home in this new world.
Okay. For a seller, what happened means they have brand new leverage when they talk to a listing agent. The old rules that basically required them to pay for the buyer's representation are gone.
So the analysis must show whether sellers were actually able to turn that leverage into real savings on what they paid out in total commission.
Yes. Did their net proceeds actually go up?
And for the buyer, I mean, the change is even more stark.
It really is. If you need a dedicated agent, and most people do, especially first-time buyers or people relocating, you have to understand that representation is now a service you purchase.
Right. So the analysis would have to reveal if first-time buyers are being hit the hardest.
Right.
Are they struggling to afford representation, or are they making the mistake of trying to go it alone without an agent?
That's a crucial, almost sociological data point inside the financial analysis. Are buyers still choosing to get professional help? Or has this new explicit cost forced some people to just forego guidance entirely? That has huge implications for consumer protection.
And this all fundamentally changes the role of the agent, too. The analysis has to measure the pivot from an agent being a gatekeeper of information to being an expert negotiator and advisor.
A true fiduciary, yeah. Because if the buyer is writing the check to their agent directly, that fiduciary duty, the legal and ethical promise to act in their client's best interest, it becomes so much clearer, so much more visible.
And the analysis captures how agents are responding to that. Are they getting more training? Are they specializing in certain types of transactions?
Yeah, you have to think so. The document is likely charting the early signs of the death of the casual part-time agent. The job just got a lot more complex, and the need to prove your value is much, much higher.
It's all connected then. The change in commission isn't happening in a vacuum. It's forcing an immediate professionalization of the entire industry.
And this analysis is showing how that industry is scrambling to prove its worth now that its old compensation model is under so much pressure. The data points captured would have to reveal the speed of that change.
Right. Is it a slow, gradual adaptation, or is it a massive, immediate market correction?
Given the scale of the settlement, you'd have to anticipate the analysis shows the latter. A really rapid shift in how business is done, all within the first few months.
Okay, so let's summarize the mission we've just completed here. We've conceptually synthesized the key questions and components of the broker commission's post-NAIR settlement analysis.
Right. We broke down the variables, the old commission structure, the settlement as the catalyst, and then all the observable shifts in the market.
All to understand what a document like this would be trying to reveal about the immediate aftermath of this huge legal and business transition.
And we've established that the analysis gives us that crucial first snapshot. It shows how mandates for transparency and negotiation quickly turned into real structural changes across the country, affecting what it costs to buy and sell a home for everyone.
Which brings us to our final provocative thought for you, the listener. If an analysis focusing only on the immediate aftermath already shows this forced unbundling of services, these huge regional differences, and a much clearer financial burden on the buyer, what might the long-term effects be?
The second-order effects, yeah.
What does this mean for the future of real estate professionals 10 years from now?
That really is the macro challenge, isn't it? This initial analysis is all about price and contracts. But the truly fascinating deep dives in the future will have to look at whether the sheer number of licensed agents we have today is even sustainable.
When their income isn't guaranteed by that old protected model anymore.
Exactly. We might be witnessing the beginning of a huge contraction in the number of agents and the rise of a new kind of professional, the hyper-specialized, highly efficient real estate consultant. And that's the analysis that we'll have to follow this one.